Today's interview has been fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with G.
And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast, where traditions must be observed, even if they are observed 3 weeks late. And one tradition that I have somehow finagled on this stupid show is that the coach of the NBA champions, after they win, after some celebrating, comes on this silly podcast to tell some stories. Steve Kerr did it. Nick Nurse did it. Ty Lue didn't do it because I didn't know him at all at the time. Frank Vogel did it. And after much browbeating, borderline coercion, the head coach of the 2021 NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks is here. Mike Budenholzer, how are you?
Doing great, Zach. How are you doing?
You better be doing great. You're a champion.
Yeah, no, that doesn't get old. So, it's been a good 2 or 3 weeks enjoying it all and, you know, just kind of trying to take in the moment.
It was a hell of a run. It was a dramatic run. Let's recount some of the moments from it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Kevin Durant, foot on the line, game 7 in Brooklyn. I just rewatched it right now. It was in front of the Nets bench. I can't see your reaction in the video clip. I can't see what you did. Did you know it was a 2? What did you do? Who was the first person you talked to? What was the reaction?
Yeah, no, I had no idea. And my gut feeling was probably it was a 3. And I was, obviously that would have been heartbreaking. So I think it was Saint. Saint was, you know, all over the sideline, you know, one of my assistants that, helps me, you know, with everything in the game situations. And I think we just made eye contact. And it's like, was that a 2 or a 3? And nobody knew. And I think, you know, felt a little better when you saw the referees going to the monitor and you had hope. And I guess we've all seen the picture where thank God he's whatever size he is. We needed every one of those, you know, inches or whatever it is.
What do you remember of the huddle before overtime? I mean, that's as big of a timeout break as there's going to be in your career. I ask these questions and the answer is usually like, it's just normal. We talked about how we're going to play and all this, but do you remember a certain feeling? Do you remember somebody speaking? Do you remember just you speaking? What do you remember of that?
No, you know, it felt like, you know, we certainly, you know, had felt like a couple opportunities to win the game. And I kind of remember a little bit of eye contact with Jrue Holiday and Drew's like, you know, I don't know that he verbalized it, but he gave you that look like, I got this, we got this. And I think there was confidence in the huddle. And, we said that about Jrue all year. I think he's brought a poise and a confidence to our team. And, I remember, you know, looking at Jrue and Jrue just giving you that look like we're going to get this. And, he did it all year. And that was, you know, that's probably my most vivid memory of that timeout. And, they delivered 4-2, I think was, or I guess Brooke got the 2 free throws at the end to make it 6-2. It was a thrilling overtime game. I guess it doesn't matter how you do it as long as you do it.
You were down 2-0 in that series. Game 2 was a pretty bad one. I remember being in LA doing the jump that week and the commentary was pretty hard on you guys. It didn't look great. It kind of felt like, here we go again with the Bucks. Can they recover from this? Internally, how did you circle the wagons, or did you not have to? Did you just think we're going home? I have confidence in us going home. Like, take me inside what it feels like, because it's only the second round. It's not the conference finals. I know you're playing the other sort of prohibitive favorite in the East, so it feels like it's a late playoff round. But it would have been early for you guys to go out. So take me into 2-0. I don't know if there's a coach's meeting of the flight back. Like, what stands out from that?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because the playoffs take so long. It feels like, was that, you know, 2 seasons ago? I think that there was, we watched a lot of film. They were playing at a really high level. And I think, you know, the guys around Durant and Harden and Irving. And I think at that time it was just Durant and Irving and Harden was yet to play. The guys with them were playing so well. The ball was moving. They were passing it. And, you know, we just thought, you know, how can we maybe change that feel, that rhythm that they had? And You know, defensively, were there any things that we could, you know, just hopefully be a little smarter, a little better, and change the look, and especially for the guys around them. And you know, I think the game three will be always be the one that probably stands out to me of all the games on the run. But I just think that
I don't even remember game three. What happened in game other than you won? I don't really remember game three off the top of my head. What happened?
86.
Oh, that was the Rock fight. That was the Rock fight game.
That was the, you know, Detroit Pistons and, you know, whoever it is they played, you know, all those years. And it's like, I just can't believe in 2021 there was a playoff game between the Brooklyn Nets with, you know, all the talent they have and all the talent we have. And the final score was 86-83. And, you know, if you don't win that game, I think, you know, everything's different. Everybody knows, you know, how important that third game is when you're down 2-0. And just to win it that way, to win it ugly, you know, I think it was just it's a little bit who we are. Take a ton of pride in being good defensively, and we eked out 86 points to win. So that was, you know, that game and just the score and the way it happened. You know, that one really stands. I don't know that I remember a whole lot else. Then the final was 86-83, and I just shake my head.
Yeah, you were on the other end of it. I think the forgotten playoff game, if there is one, from sort of your Bucks time and the Bucks time as an elite team, was another game three where the scenario was the opposite. And that was game three in Toronto when you were up 2-0 and everything was going your way. That game is, I believe, a double overtime game. And then that begins the four straight losses. And then you go on and have, I guess, a disappointing series, the next series against Miami. The next season against Miami, but that game was so close to going to being over. I mean, I don't know what you remember, but from that game, but all the criticism that has followed that is like that one game flips the other way. Everything is different.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I a lot of the details are, you know, kind of blurry, but the double overtime stands out, you know, and obviously, I'm sure both teams have multiple chances. If you're going double overtime and you just, you know, you win that game, everything's different. And, you know, a lot of things, you know, could be different than they are today, but it's part of life. It's part of sport. You know, I love the way Giannis and Chris and John Horst, the organization, the way they've responded to everything. You know, we just try and keep knocking on the door. You want to have a team that can compete for championships, and, we didn't get it done that year, whether it's a double overtime game three or, you know, I think we were up big in game four or
game six.
Game six. And, you know, things happen. And every organization probably that's gotten to the championship level or point has maybe had some of that. Maybe there's the rare exception where it's just smooth and everything, you know, goes, I guess, according to plan or as best as can be imagined. But it maybe makes, you know, winning it this year sweeter and more meaningful. And the guys have certainly put the time and work and effort and been through some heartbreak. And so to break through makes maybe, you know, I think they're all meaningful, but when you have to go through some of that, you know, maybe it's more meaningful.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
The Low Post fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite The Low Post episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like First Take and Pardon the Interruption ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/low. That's amazon.com/low to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to give you the floor in a second because you deserve the floor on this. But a lot of the fretting about the Milwaukee Bucks from 2019 till right up when you went in 2021 has focused on you. And I know that you tune it all out. You're bigger than it. You're not on Twitter seeing what Bucks Twitter. But Bucks Twitter, if you ever want to go down a black hole, bud, I suggest you take a minute now that you've won and start looking at Bucks Twitter, because they are as fierce a fiefdom as exists on NBA Twitter. But you became, more than anyone in the organization, the avatar for whatever frustrations fans had. And it surrounded the idea that Mike Budenholzer is a great regular season coach, but he doesn't adjust in the playoffs. Why don't we switch more? Why are we still playing this drop defense? Why is our offense stuck in mud? Why can't Bud change the lineup this way? Why can't Bud run more plays like this and instead of the same old thing? And I have said the criticism was over the top, but I've also said, I think I've used the word stubborn to describe you. I think I've used the word doctrinaire to describe you. Well, now you're a champion, bud. So the playoff adjustments happened and they worked and you won. So I'm giving you the floor. And I'm sure on some level, you knew that noise existed and that line of criticism existed. What has been and what is your response to that notion that, quote unquote, Bud doesn't adjust?
My first question is, I'm not sure I know what doctrinaire is. I'm going to have to Google it while we're doing this podcast. But I really don't have much of a response. There's things, there's habits, there's ways of playing and things you believe in. And I in some ways, if you've been through a gazillion playoffs, whether it's be an assistant coach, a head coach, player, I sometimes laughed at how much the adjustments are overrated or over discussed. And it's certainly a part of it. And we've done our best for 3 years. We've been knocking on the door. We've had really good teams. And luckily I don't go down those black holes. I don't really want to go down the black hole today. I think we've had great teams. Hopefully coaching has been put them in the best position, and you go play and some years you win it. And when you don't, you get a lot of criticism, you get a lot of critique, and it's just a part of it. I don't know. Fortunately, just don't listen to it. And got a lot of faith in the team and the players and the organization. And I feel the same from them. So, I don't want to just say anything about myself or justification or feels better or anything like that. It's part of coaching. You just sign up for it. You do it, you do the best you can. And each year there's a different outcome, and, you know, we're fortunate to be champions and very appreciative of that. But I'm kind of the same guy I was 2 years ago when we lost and last year when we lost. It's a lot of noise, and I don't know that it's healthy for any of us, or at least for me. So you just kind of, you move on and get ready for the next season.
What I really wanted you to say was, you can all stick it. That's what I really wanted you to say. I thought maybe if I made myself part of it, you would at least look at me and say, you can stick it. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Well, that's disappointingly diplomatic of you. Let me throw a theory at you, because I talked to someone who knows you well, and we talked about this adjustment, quote unquote, issue. And this person's theory was this: when you see Bud in the locker room before games saying, let it fly, play loose, be random, but let it fly, he really thinks, he truly, those words mean a lot to him about how he thinks players play best and how the sport flows best. Don't overthink. Just go and play. If you think too much, it's gonna create problems. Just go out there and play free. And this person's theory was, maybe the adjustment stuff is sort of part and parcel of that. He doesn't want guys overthinking out there, because the let it fly thing, it's not just a catchphrase to him. It's something deeper than that. It's something he really believes about basketball. Is there any sort of dots to connect there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would definitely say there's a, you know, whether you want to call it a philosophical belief, an approach, a way to just kind of, hopefully put the players in their best position to succeed and play well. And I think that's the greatest challenge of a coach, is not to overload them. And there's such a fine line between overloading players and having them think too much and having them just mentally a little bit bogged down versus just playing and competing. We talk about competing, let it fly, playing free, playing random. I think, I guess the argument that this person is making, and I would agree with, and that maybe, you know, fuels some of the stuff you're talking about, if you say, I think if you put your money on playing free, playing with confidence, playing kind of without being bogged down mentally, that gives you your best chance to win in the playoffs, gives you your best chance to win in general. You start getting into a bunch of adjustments. You start getting into thinking and overthinking things. I've seen it go the other way where, you know, it sounds great in the theater. It sounds great on the court. The players all agree. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're in front of 18,000 fans, the pressure, all those things. And you can really kind of get bogged down in the mental side and all that. So there is for sure a belief in playing free and playing with confidence and competing. At the end of the day, the team that competes the hardest, plays the hardest, you know, and makes the least mistakes. And how do you make the least mistakes? Is it by being mentally free, or is it being mentally bogged down? And it's a fine line. You just got to find that honey spot. But yes, there's a lot of truth to kind of, you know, what you just described and how we coach and how we approach games and, you know, before games, after games, films, practices. You know, I think we want them to be free. We want them to compete.
Another moment from this run that did happen right in front of you that I do need to ask about is 120-119 in Phoenix, game five. You lead, Phoenix has the ball. Devin Booker spins and goes into his move with a chance to put the Suns up by one, chance to take a 3-2 lead in the finals. Jrue Holiday strips him. Jrue Holiday is coming down, 3-on-1, shot clock's off. Giannis is streaking down the middle. All this is happening right in front of you. The lob goes up. What are you, Mike Budenholzer, thinking in that moment as the lob goes up?
Thank God Giannis is on our team. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you just, when the ball goes up for him, I know, you know, where this is going, the clock, and, you know, it's maybe not the smartest, the textbook thing, but, you know, Jrue and Giannis are just playing on instincts. Maybe they're playing just like we just talked about. They're playing free. I was pretty confident that Giannis was going to get it. Wasn't sure why Jrue passed it, but, you know, when you play with Giannis, you know, your confidence is just through the roof. And, you know, in some ways, you know, free throws are not automatic, and you throw a lob to Giannis and, you know, he goes and gets it, you know, it's two, and, you know, you're still up three and you got to get a stop and have them not score. So I just, you know, I'm grateful for Jrue for making the steal and Giannis being him. And, yeah, you know, it's just one of those instinctual plays that I love our guys to play with that kind of confidence and to believe, like the belief that Jrue has in Giannis to go get it. You know, it's special.
And all through it all, I think the craziest thing that happened in the entire playoff run, or at least the most statistically improbable, was Giannis going 17 of 19 from the free throw line in the clinching game. When that's happening, is it like a no hitter where no one is allowed to talk about, oh my God, Giannis is hot at the line? Like, did you joke about it after the game with him? Like, dude, where did that come from? Because I remember watching me like, he's making every free throw. What's happening?
Yeah. No, certainly did not talk to him about it during the game, and really don't talk to him, you know, about free throws very much, you know, during games. And, you know, after the game, I think it's just, to me, I've thought about how hard he works, what a complete game he had, and how many great games he's had, you know, during the 3 years I've been with him. But to really make it totally complete and to be phenomenal from the free throw line and to put kind of that, I don't know, it was just, I think, for him, for us, for to see, you know, how much he works, how important he is to us, just to have that, you know, what he did defensively, what he does just everywhere, but for everywhere to include the free throw line, really, really cool. And, you know, a lot of fun for him, a lot of fun for us. So yeah, no, I haven't talked. I'm assuming that's going to be, you know, the new bar. He's going to have to do that every night, you know, going forward.
Well, I always tell people, like, if I ask people to guess what Giannis's free throw percentage is for his career in the regular season, people guess like 58, 59. It's 72. If he just shot 72% at the line in the playoffs, nobody would talk about any of this. It would be a complete non-issue. But people miss that by leaps and bounds all the time. So you guys win, and I ask coaches this every year. There's a celebration. I don't know where you guys went to celebrate, but there's drinks, there's food, the family and friends are there. You're going around talking to everybody. Was there, from wherever you guys were in Milwaukee celebrating that night specifically, I know the celebration goes on, there's a parade and all that. Is there a conversation with somebody through all that chaos? Is there a moment with somebody through all that noise and madness that you will always remember amid the blur, like someone that you had a moment with, someone that said something to you that took you aback a little bit? Was there a moment like that for you? Maybe it's even with your family, not with anyone with the team. I don't know. What stands out?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a moment, but, you know, for me, I'm the youngest of seven. So I had all six of my siblings together, which either I don't know if this is a good thing or I should say, but we don't get all seven of us together very often. So to have all seven of my siblings, my four kids, and to do that kind of family thing and for everybody just to participate in it and, you know, just it's when you're from a big family and you get to share it with everybody and you can just feel that, I guess, family love, family pride. It's really, really cool. You know, that I think from going to the post game, I don't know, you know, I don't think we could call that a break bread. It was like break the city, you know, so, but to do it with all my brothers and sisters and my kids and just to feel, you know, just everybody's so happy for you and so proud. And, you know, I think that'll always stand out to me.
I'm assuming you are not going to want to talk about this at all, but I have to ask you, and then I'll talk about it. I assume you would like to get a contract extension after winning the championship.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to coach the Milwaukee Bucks for like the next 20 years. So yeah, I'm going to ask for the 20-year extension.
Go for it.
That's our starting point.
Well, I said, we talked about it on TV on The Jump. It was me and Robert Horry. And I said, look, I've called Bud stubborn. I've called Bud doctrinaire, but you know what just happened? They won the championship. And I said, if we don't reward people for winning, and I don't want to hear about the injuries that other teams had and this and that, like all that stuff is real. It happens every year. The bottom line is this is what I said on TV. So I'm just repeating what I said on TV. It's not new, listeners. I already said it. Said if we don't reward people when they win, what are we even doing here? Like, even if you, that's all. And then we can move on from there. The other moment that I have to ask you about is you guys were obviously at the center of not just sports, but history for a moment in Orlando when you didn't come on the floor to play against the Magic in the first round of the playoffs in the bubble in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I think. Obviously the whole sports world stopped at that moment. And then there was the whole big meeting in the bubble. I have something for you afterwards, but I want to know what you remember from the discussion in the locker room. And from what I've heard, you let everyone, the coaches sort of stood back and let the players talk and decide. But what you remember from sort of witnessing that and when you knew, okay, it appears that we're going to take this step.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think just the deep conversations, the meaningful conversations, and even, you know, one of the guys just saying that this is a big, this we've got to, you know, we've got to embrace this and we got to know how big this is. If we're going to do this, it's big. And I think, you know, for the players to understand that and embrace it, and then, you know, to listen to them to talk and how can this be, you know, the most meaningful, the most impactful? How can we really try and help create change, help keep change, you know, happening and you know, our country, our world improving, and to see them work together and have the conversations and work on the statement and, you know, speak with political, you know, leaders from the locker room. And, just the, I mean, it was really powerful to see, you know, how our guys just understood the importance of it, kind of embraced it, tried to make it as impactful as possible. And, you know, we've said it a bunch of times. I mean, I think, you know, you feel like you're on the right side of history. You know, it was a history making moment. And I think, you know, our team, you know, our league, the players in our league, not just the Bucks, but the whole league, you know, are, I think on the right side of history that day and just trying to help our country move forward and be better.
Let me recount something I heard from the locker room and you can tell me if it matches your memory. The Bucks don't come out. People realize, okay, the Bucks aren't coming out. A league official comes in and I heard somewhere between asks the Bucks to maybe reconsider playing or just sort of softer than that says, do you guys really want to do this? Do you understand what's happening here? Blah, blah. That person leaves. And the players by this point have already decided. They've already had all these discussions. The players have already decided we're not playing. That person leaves. There's some silence. And in that silence, the players are maybe looking for someone to say, to respond to this person. Are we doing this? And from what I've been told, maybe for one of the first times you talk and you just look at the players and say something like, I think we all know what we have to do here. And the players remember that and saying, for you know, Bud, let us do it. Bud, let us take the leadership of it. But after that moment, he stood in front of us and said, we know what we got to do, right? Does that match your memory of things?
I'm not going to confirm or deny the rumor. I actually, there's so much from that day and the sequencing of how everything happened. I'd be lying to you if I said exactly how it went down. I think we all had a moment to speak. We all had a moment to, you know, there's just so much leadership in that locker room at that moment. And certainly I think the coaches wanted to let the players lead it. But at some point I do think there's, I think, you know, the role of the coach is like, you know, there's lots of conversation. There's lots of debate. There's on lots of things. So it's not that uncommon. At some point, you know, I guess I do have a recollection of saying, okay, something along the lines of what you just said and that there is somebody that, you know, I think just has to partner with the leadership in that group and say, we're all doing this together and we know what's right. And again, I think the being on the right side of history and just trying to do something good and make a difference, you know, was just, it was all about that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning, wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low impact class, they've got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. We have a few minutes left. Let's go rapid fire through some of the Bud career highlights. First impression of Tim Duncan.
Humble, amazing, not a good summer league player.
Reaction and vantage point of the Ray Allen shot in game six of the 2013 finals.
Oh, yeah, probably the most painful shot. Although there's two. but I'll keep it one of the most painful shots moments in my basketball career, coaching life. Just hard to believe that it happened to be that close, and then to not finish it, that hurt.
What's the other one?
Derek Fisher, point four.
Oh yeah, duh.
Ooh. That was a different place, different time, not the finals there, but man, those two shots, boy, those will sober you up real quick.
Much has been written about the Spurs dinner after that game and the tone of it and Pop going around to everybody and telling everyone, like, we got game 7, we got a group here. I know we're in pain. Let's all eat together. Let's all be in the same room together. Whose table are you at? And what do you remember from that dinner?
The coaches usually sat together. So I think, you know, usually it's most of the assistants and Pop, and you know, you're eating, you're talking about the game, trying to figure things out. You're trying to, you know, pick the spirit of the group up, and Pop works the room. And so I'm sure I was with, you know, Brett Brown and the crew, you know, all of us that were there, at that time. And yeah, you know, I mean, I think at some point you got to pick yourself back up, and, you know, you got thinking about, you know, game 7 and that opportunity. And I remember almost the dinner after game 7 more. So yeah, those moments are, you know, I think help form you. And, you know, like I said, you got to kind of move forward and get ready and kind of just mentally, emotionally start thinking, you know, let's think about the next game and get ready for that.
Why do you remember the game 7 one more?
Yeah, it was my last break bread in San Antonio, my last time with that organization, that team, and got on a plane the next morning, you know, to I guess start the post Spurs life, you know. So it's just, it was tough between game 6 and break bread, same place. And then you lose game 7, you know, your season's done. And really, it's time for me to move on. So yeah, that break bread always stands out to me.
Well, Brett Brown also left that offseason, and I've asked him this before. He left to go coach the Sixers. You leave to go coach the Hawks. You watched the Spurs come back and avenge it, not avenge, because it sounds mean, but like rise up from one of the hardest defeats really in basketball history, and not just rise up, but sort of reach this crescendo of everything we've been building toward as a team and an organization peaks at the exact right time. And we play this beautiful basketball, and the Miami Heat of LeBron James are overwhelmed by how we're playing. Watching that from afar, was there a part of you that was like, God damn, I missed this? I mean, I'm so happy that I'm coaching the Hawks, but I missed this. Like, did you feel left out?
Yeah, I don't know what the feeling was. And I went to one of the games. I think I went to I don't know, but it was in San Antonio the night where there was no air conditioning and the building was like just like a sauna. And the basketball was just, I mean, it was, I think, some of the most beautiful basketball. If you believe in ball movement, people movement, and, you know, all that stuff that I do just so believe in, it was amazing. And yeah, I don't know. You don't feel left out, but you're just like, I think I was just blown away with how great they played. Like, it was just, they were clicking and just amazing, playing at such a high level. And to see how they approached the season, the mission they were on, the drive, the focus, and it was just, and then for it to culminate in this just, you know, really, really, really great basketball. Yeah, it was, but, you know, I think to be a head coach and to move on, it was the time. And so it's very happy for them, and really just happy to see that kind of basketball being played on the court.
Last one, and I'll let you go. And I wanted to end here because it puts the whole journey kind of into perspective. Somebody told me, who was with you from very early Spurs days, said, ask Bud. Bob Hill was the coach when you got to the Spurs, not Pop. Pop was the GM. Bob Hill was the coach.
Yeah.
Said, ask Bud about after every game carrying Bob Hill's briefcase and his suit jacket back to the bus. That was part of Bud's job in whatever 1990, whatever, carrying Bob Hills. And that's not a bad thing about Bob Hill. That's just what the low level video guys or whatever do. You got the briefcase, you got the suit jacket. You had to remember that every game, I was told. Is that right?
There's somewhere along there, some offensive edits and some defensive edits and, you know, film. And, you know, it's like you said, when you're at the bottom of the ladder, you're basically doing anything you can to try and help, you know, the head coach. I would, you know, whether it's suit, briefcase, edits, film, I you kind of do everything when you're in that spot. Every video coordinator that's come through this league knows what it's like to, you're doing everything. And it's great because you get opportunities to, you know, whatever, you're picking up knowledge. The guy's upset, he's happy, he's thinking about practice the next day, you know, an edit, what we got to do. So yeah, no, when you're the video guy, especially back in those days, and it really hasn't changed at all. You literally you're taking the briefcase and the suit to the bus or whatever it takes. So yeah, it's part of your journey. And I learned a ton. You know, I think any video coordinator would tell you that's the best place in the world to start. If you're going to be in the NBA, you start in the video room, you're going to come out, you know, I think your knowledge is just, it grows at just an insane level.
Well, now you're the head coach of the NBA champions. You'll be the defending NBA champions for at least a year or so, or a little less than a year, I guess, here. Well-deserved. And look, you and I have known each other a while. We've had our back and forths over the years, but those Hawks teams have always had a special place in my heart. Obviously that Spurs team is any basketball fan to love the Spurs team. And to see your Bucks, to see Giannis and Chris Middleton, who I wrote a big profile on a couple years ago, interviewed you for it, come from second round pick, castaway in Detroit to this. Brooke Lopez has had a weird career path. PJ Tucker grinds and grinds and grinds and ends up drinking champagne. All this, it was a fun story, a fun run. And really, you know, we cover this league and we got to cover it hard and aggressively and honestly, but at the end, there is a good feeling in watching people who have committed their lives to the game reach the end of it, reach the moment of ultimate glory. So I heartfelt congratulations. It's well-deserved. Get some downtime in the off season and get right back at it. Cause now everyone's gunning for you now.
Yeah, no, we'll be back at it before you know it. So appreciate it, Zach. Fun to do this and appreciate, you know, all your knowledge, and it's good stuff. It's good for the league. So I'm glad we could do this.
Thanks, coach. Be well. Have a good summer.
All right, you too.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.